My name is Mary Gallagher, and I'm a grandniece of Eamon Kyant, who was one of the leaders of the 1916 Rising and signatories of the proclamation. Eamon's brother, Michael, was my grandfather, and he was one of a family of six who originally came from Ballyporeen in County Tipperary, but Eamon himself was born in Ballymoe, County Galway, in September 1881. His father, James Kent, was an RIC constable, a member of the Royal Irish Constabulary, and he was posted to Ballymoe at the time when Eamon was born. This was a time of land league problems in the west of Ireland. It was a time of near famine in the west of Ireland, a very difficult time to be living in the west of Ireland. When Eamon was approximately 2 years of age, his father was promoted in the RIC and the family moved to County Louth, where they spent Eamon's childhood between Drogheda and Ardee. Eamon was educated by the Christian Brothers and the De La Salle Brothers there. And when he was around 12 years of age, the family moved on his father's retirement to Dublin. It was only when Eamon left school that he became so deeply involved in the Irish language movement in the Gaelic League. He joined it as a very young man, and one of the first people he met there was Pádraig Pearse. For most of his 20s, Eamon's commitment was to the Gaelic League, both in terms of the restoration of the Irish language and, in particular, Irish music. He became an extremely accomplished piper, and he was one of the people who established the Pipers Club in Dublin, along with Edward Martin, a well-known Galway man. Eamon was particularly good at acting as an administrator from the various organisations he was involved in, but his actual day job was in Dublin Corporation, where he worked in the finance department. He was a man of many parts. He was involved in self-sufficiency. He grew mushrooms. He reared hens. He tried to establish a little Irish company making Irish blue. People will remember Reckitt's blue for their mothers when they were whitening their clothes. Well, he decided to establish an Irish blue. It wasn't very successful in the end, but it was indicative of his interest in Irish self-sufficiency. One of the huge interests in his life, the Gaelic League, led to his first meeting with his wife, Frances O'Brennan. Her name was subsequently changed to Áine, and she was known as Áine Kyant after they married. He met Áine on a Gaelic League outing to Galway when they were both very young, and 2 years later they got engaged and a few years later were married. Eamon loved his visits to Galway. He always visited Connemara whenever he had the opportunity. In the Gaelic League, he adopted the Connacht dialect. He always thought of himself as a Galway man. He was also inclined to play jokes on his fellow Gaelic leaguers, many of whom were visiting Galway, hoping to learn the language in their holidays, which was a couple of days. He came across a couple of these young men one day in Eyre Square on their way to the station, and he took out his pipes and insisted on piping their way to the station. They were mortified, but that was Eamon. He was a showman in many ways, and as part of his involvement in the Gaelic League, he loved organising events, and any opportunities for piping were grasped as quickly as possible. In 1908, he joined a group of athletes on the Catholic Young Men's Association on a pilgrimage to Rome as their official piper. And it was there, as many people know, he played his pipes for Pope Pius X. He spoke only Irish during his visit to Rome, and he later remarked that he wasn't laughed at for walking through the streets of Rome playing his pipes in an old Irish piper's costume. He wasn't laughed at the same way as he would have been in Dublin. In 1913, the Great Lockout happened in Dublin, where many people were less concerned than Eamon was with the future of Irish language, but were very concerned with putting bread on the table for their children in what was one of the worst housing situations in Europe. James Larkin Union brought the workers out on strike, and the city descended into a crisis that continued until the end of the year. Eamon's wife Áine later remembered that that was the atmosphere when Éamon Cheant in November 1913 received an invitation from the O'Rahilly to meet John McNeill and others in Wynne's Hotel, and this was the start of the Irish Volunteers, of which Éamon was a very enthusiastic founder member. His father, as I said, was an RIC man. His brother had joined the RIC, his brother JP had joined the RIC. His other brother, Bill William, was actually a member of the Royal Dublin Fusiliers and had been fighting in the British Army in the Boer War and was essentially a professional soldier. So there was a very much military background in the family. Though I have to say my own grandfather, his brother, was also working in Dublin Corporation and had very little interest in the military aspects of life. So 1914, with war on the horizon, was a huge turning point, not just for Éamon, but for Ireland and for the whole continent of Europe and the world indeed. Éamon became more deeply involved in IRB, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and in 1915 he was appointed to the military council along with Pearse and Joe Plunkett. As we all know at this stage, the plans for the rising went awry when Owen McNeill issued a countermanding order on Easter Sunday morning. Éamon, with the other members of the military council, were distraught. They saw their opportunity disappearing, but as we all know now, they decided to go ahead and have the rising on Easter Monday. A year after Éamon was executed, his brother William, who was in the Royal Dublin Fusiliers and had been transferred to the Western Front, and approximately a year after Éamon's death, he himself died in battle on the Western Front. My grandfather had lost two of his brothers to war, one on each side of the Irish Revolution.